Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to a very special guest today. He built a career crafting classically influenced interiors across the United States. He's been featured in House and Garden, House Beautiful, the Los Angeles Times, the Boston Globe, the Chicago Tribune, and wrote for the Trends and Shopping column in House and Garden magazine, as well as the online real estate site Curbed.com. His book, 101 Things I Hate About Your House, won the 2011 American Booksellers Award. Currently, he lives and works from his home on the coast of Maine, which is where he launched the podcast Million Dollar Decorating. He now adds media host and producer to his career accomplishments. The interview-based show becomes the first daily podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. And it features interviews with the world's leading designers, decorators, architects, and artisans. And by now, if you haven't figured out who I'm talking about, well, then you haven't been paying attention. I'm the guest on the show today. We are celebrating the beginning of the second year of the life of Million Dollar Decorating. Yesterday, we broadcast our 365th show, and today begins year number two. And how exciting that all is. Now, everyone that I spoke with and learned from as I was getting ready to launch this show said that the very first show that you should record and put up should be a little show talking about you, sharing with your listeners who you are, your background. And honestly, in the excitement to get the show launched, to get the website up, and to begin sharing the interviews with friends and colleagues that I had begun recording about a month prior, I just simply forgot to do it. Many of you have emailed me. Many of you who I've met at conferences and events around the country have said, when are you going to be interviewed on the show? When are we going to get to learn about you? So I thought and I thought and I thought and I said, okay, well, we're going to start the second year off then with just a little show about me. I went through a phase where I thought, okay, I'm going to find somebody to interview me. And for some reason, that just never resonated. And I woke up one morning and I realized I may not do it often. In fact, I haven't done it in 365 shows, but I'm just going to talk to our listeners today. And I'm going to go through most of the questions that you normally hear me asking our guests and maybe let you learn a little bit about me today as we launch into this second year. In answer to the first question that we always ask our guests, when did you fall in love with design for the first time? For me, it goes back to high school. I'd always been, even in the younger years, fussy, I guess would be the word. I think my sisters would probably use that word, about the way my room was made up. Everything, you know, everything had a place and I liked everything in its place. But it wasn't until the middle of high school, two things happened. My parents bought a new home and we moved. And somewhere along the way, I discovered a little magazine called Architectural Digest that literally transformed my understanding of the world. I couldn't wait each month for the new edition to come, and I would literally read it from cover to cover. I would drink in the details about the rooms, the houses, the fabulous New York apartments, the London houses, the chateaus in France, wherever and whatever the editors shared with us. I knew it all back to back. I knew the names of the designers, the types of work that they did, and they were very quickly becoming my heroes. Fast forward, after finishing high school, I took a little detour. I chased the dreams that others had for me for a little while. I went to Texas, and I got an undergraduate degree in theology and music, thinking that that would be a path that would be for my life. Turns out it wasn't, and I changed gears and a few years later went back to school after taking some time and trying to figure out what it was that I really wanted to do and what I really wanted to be when I grew up. And what I came up with was the remembrance, and then I actually went and dug them out, of some journals that I had kept as a kid, sketching room details, building details. I had always loved observing how people interacted with the spaces that they were in. And I was never shy about sharing opinions with my mom or my aunt or my sisters about how a room should be put together. So it occurred to me that maybe architecture was the way. I was living in Mesa, Arizona at the time, and through I'm really still not quite sure how it all happened, but I found myself accepted into the Masters of Architecture program at Arizona State University, math being the biggest obstacle to that because I've never been very good at math. But I made it through some remedial math classes, and suddenly I was in the program, and fast forward, I suddenly wasn't very happy again. I had done an internship. I was helping architects do tilt-up strip centers out in the Arizona desert. And I thought, oh, if this is what architecture is about and I have to do this for the rest of my life, I'm going to be very unhappy. But rather than leave school, my counselor suggested that I take some, as she put it, some fluff classes in the design department. And of course, it didn't take long for me to realize that that was exactly where I needed to be. A move came shortly after that, and I was back in Northern California and eventually ended up in San Francisco. Some small temp jobs, but finally found myself in the studio of an architect in San Francisco doing interiors for him. That grew into a bit of a division, and many years later, we were doing amazing projects all over Northern California. I was doing the interiors for these projects that this architect had designed. An opportunity presented itself, and I ended up moving to Los Angeles, a city that I never thought I would live in. And as it turns out, I lived there for close to 17 years. I worked for a firm for the first couple of years and then made the big move to go out on my own. And that's what I did up until the economy crashed in 2009. I had made a decision that I was ready to leave Los Angeles at that point. And the turn in the economic situation sort of just underscored that. And I found myself very happily relocating to Maine, which is where I live and work today. For the intervening years, I wrote a book, which I'm very proud of. Some of you may know of it, 101 Things I Hate About Your House, a fun volume that takes a slightly sideways look at some of the mistakes that all of us make in the homes that we live in. There was a lot of laughter around that book and around promoting that book, and it's still out there, available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it still brings a smile to my face. I worked with some amazing creative people to both write and to have the book illustrated, and it's a project that I'm very proud of. However, you don't live on the proceeds from a book. So I bounced around here in New England for a couple of years and honestly was really without a driving purpose. I went back to Boston and helped a friend of mine with his design business, working on projects with him, sort of taking the business to the next level. And then found myself with a decision. Do I stay in Boston? Do I put my shingle out again and start to build a design business all over again, or do something else? And I didn't have the answer for what that something else would be. And one summer, floating in a friend's pool in Connecticut, I had gone down there to house sit for them, and they had returned, and we were spending a lovely evening or a lovely afternoon together before I headed home. And I was listening to some podcasts on my iPhone, floating in the pool, and my hostess came down into the water and said, "What are you listening to?" And I told her. And she said, "Well, what's your favorite design podcast?" And I guess the blank look on my face is what was the indication of the answer, because I didn't have one. I didn't know if one existed. So we toweled off and ran in the house and jumped on the computer really quickly. And to my dismay, I discovered that that there wasn't really a lot to choose from. There were two, I think, that we came across that seemed to be business-to-business podcasts, but nothing really like what I was looking for. And I'll never forget the moment when Andrea turned to me and said, "You need to start a podcast." Fast forward, here we are today with 1 year under our belt. Million Dollar Decorating launched the 1st of March in 2016, and every day since, we have broadcast an interview with some of the most amazing creative people from all corners of the world. We've interviewed people from as far away as, Paris, London, Moscow, Sydney, Australia, New Zealand, South America, really from around the world. And each and every one has brought something beautiful and unique and creative to the conversation. And I can only say thank you to each of them. They've added deeply and richly to my life and have allowed us to share their stories with you. So that's how Million Dollar Decorating came to be. And that's a little bit about my background. The thing that I love the most about becoming a podcaster, because so back up just a little bit, I thought that I would put this podcast together and it would be in addition to ongoing design work that I might be doing. Well, it didn't take me too long to realize that the ongoing design work wasn't going to happen, that producing and hosting a podcast that would broadcast every single day was a full-time gig. And so I have been doing that full-time. Gladly. I love speaking with designers and architects and creative people every single day of the week and getting to share their stories with the world. The thing that is the biggest challenge about what I'm doing right now, as is always the case with me, the business side, I'm not wired that way. So it takes a considerable amount of energy and effort. But we're a small little venture right now. We're growing. We're finding ways to monetize and to pay our bills and to get ahead. And we're very excited about that. We have had and we will continue to have sponsors for the show, whether they're ongoing daily sponsors or whether they're underwriters of special events that we do. We're honored to work with some amazing corporations from, again, around the world, and getting to call them partners in this project is really an ongoing honor. So, a word to our listeners. Those of you who are tuning in, curious about creating more beauty in your home, what would I say to you today? What would I like you to hear from me? I think the message would be pretty straightforward and pretty simple. You've heard it a number of times from a number of our guests, but I think it always bears repeating. And that is, start with a plan. That means, translating this into, as a client of mine many years ago used to say, she said, now translate that out of decorator talk for me. So what that means is, do a floor plan. I don't care if it's on quarter-inch graph paper, I don't care if you use a fancy app on your phone or on your computer, but if you are contemplating any sort of design or decorating project around your house, I can't stress it enough, always begin with a floor plan. You will save yourself time, you'll save yourself money, and you'll save yourself lots of frustration if you'll just spend the time to put it down on paper. Doesn't take much time, and it certainly doesn't take any cost. There's no cost involved to erase a pencil line or to go back into a software program and change the positioning of a sofa or a chair or maybe even a window or a wall on a floor plan. But boy, you get into construction or you get an order placed with a furniture manufacturer and suddenly realize that that sofa needs to be 6 inches shorter than what you had asked for. And suddenly you're spending money that you don't need to spend. So start with a scaled floor plan and let that be what guides you on your journey through a design or decorating project. Now, this is where I usually turn the tables and ask our guests to talk for a few moments about their own home and maybe the favorite spot in their home. Now, I'm renting right now. I'm in a really lovely home. It's a historical home in a town on the coast of Maine. It was designed by a regional architect of some note, John Calvin Stevens. Google him, look up his work. You'll understand why I have such great appreciation for the work that he did. My favorite spot in the house is probably in my breakfast room, because there is a window in that room that looks out over the Kennebec River. The Kennebec flows right past me. I'm not quite on the ocean. We're the village, or the city that I'm in, the town, I guess, that I'm in, I've got to get the terminology right, is near where the Kennebec River pours out into the ocean. I don't have ocean views, but I have a big, beautiful river view. And we're talking about a large river here. We're near Bath Iron Works, which are contractors for the Navy, and they actually build and launch from their facilities in this same river huge destroyers for the military. So this is a big, big river. But that's the view. I look straight out onto the river from my breakfast table, and it is it's framed right now with some of the orchid plants that are coming or going, in and or out of season, and I'm sort of nursing them into a second bloom there. And that's where I start every day, and it's a very happy place. I like that. What would people find most surprising about my home? I think at this moment, it is the fact that it is entirely and completely overwhelmed and overcome by books. There are stacks of books on the floor next to every upholstered piece in the house. I long time ago ran out of bookshelf space, and because I'm not going to be here for a long time, I wasn't going to have new bookshelves built. So I thought, well, I'll just create little side tables next to my chairs and the sofa and my reading chair and the bed. And they've just kept growing and kept growing. And now I have books stacked on both sides of chairs. And anyway, it's not a forever space, but it does look like a well-lived-in space that a book lover lives in. And that's pretty accurate. So I don't have any problem with that one. Designer style heroes. Oh my gosh, there's so many here. But I think I would narrow it down to two. I'd go back into history, to the 17th century, and would love to sit for an hour or so with Robert Adams. The architecture and the interiors that he and his brother did in the neoclassical style never fail to enthral and inspire me. So I would start with an hour with them, and then I would fast forward up to current times, and I would want to spend an hour with the design, style, and the creative icon, Tom Ford. That would be the person that I would love to spend some time with. His fashion, his interiors, the movies that he produces, every creative expression of his life is one that I admire and respect and would love to learn from. So that would be the other design icon that I would choose to spend time with. A question that we don't always throw out to all of our guests, it usually ends up being a time thing, and this one seems easy enough to just set by the wayside, but the question is, what's one thing that you'd most like to accomplish that has not yet materialized? What's out on the horizon? What are the goals, the objectives? As we move into the second year of Million Dollar Decorating, obviously, keeping up the pace of recording, that's a given. We're going to do that. We're not going anywhere. We are going to begin a slight change in the format. We're going to go to some weekend shows that are special and unique. And I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but we're going to go and spend time with designers, not with our usual approach of questions, but we're really going to pick their brains on what it means to enjoy a weekend. Those of you who follow me on Instagram, you know that I have my Weekend in the Country feed that I'm particularly fond of. I hope it seems like that people enjoy it. But what we would really like to do is spend time with some of the world's leading designers, decorators, and architects and talk to them about how they spend their downtime on the weekends. I think it's going to be a fun feature. Watch for it coming probably in April. we'll start to make that adjustment to the scheduling with these new weekend shows. You'll hear and see a lot about that. So that's coming down the pike. That's going to materialize. And the other thing that's just a really broad goal, I find it fascinating, as with as many podcasts that are available in other business slots, if you go to entrepreneurs, or if you go to general business categories, there's 50, there's 100, sometimes there's many hundreds of podcasts. I'd really love to see more podcasts in the world of design and decorating. I think there's so much of interest in this business and in the work that happens in creating beauty for the lives and the homes and the businesses that we live in. So one of the goals that I have for this upcoming year is to begin moving us towards the launch of a second show. We're going to start doing some series here on Million Dollar Decorating, a monthly series. The first one that we're working on, and we'll keep you posted on how it develops, is a series on kitchens. So once a month, we'll come back with kitchen experts and professionals. It'll be sponsored by some of the leading brands of kitchen manufacturers in the world. And it's going to be a whole show once a month devoted just to talk about kitchens. People are excited about kitchens. People love kitchens, love producing food for their families and for their friends. It's a hot topic right now. Take a look at the cooking shows on TV. You'll see what I mean. The goal in doing this series is that we're going to then spin that show off and create a freestanding podcast just on kitchens. Working on a name, so if you have any creative ideas for a name for that show, send me an email, give me your ideas. I will be happy to give you credit. But watch for that coming. We're very excited. I'm very excited about that happening. And more news as that gets closer to launching. I'll keep you posted, okay? What's the best decorating advice that I have ever heard? I think the best decorating advice I've ever heard came from an architect who I worked with many, many years ago. And her favorite phrase was, be bold or go home. She was not one to approach projects or style decisions in a timid manner. And I've always loved the spirit of that. Be bold or just go home. And what that means for you is going to be very different from what that means for me. But I think it's a good one. It's a good one to hang on to and to think about when you're working on a design or decorating project in your own home. A new question to the list of questions that we've thrown in fairly recently. What's a design trend you'd like to see go away sooner rather than later? If anyone has known me for any length of time, you know that I'm not a huge mid-century modern fan. And I want to say that with a little caveat, because I have great respect for the skill and the discipline that went into the designs from that period. The Ames, I mean, there's a long list of notable architects and designers who contributed to what we call today mid-century modern. Great respect for the rigor and the vision that propelled those designs. I just don't want to live with it for the most part. So, let's back off. There are other fabulous, fabulous things to pay attention to in the world of design. And I think there are other periods that might deserve a little time in the limelight. If the house caught fire today, what would I risk the flames to save? It's a small list. The first thing would be my laptop. Everything's backed up. I work really hard to make sure all of that happens, but somehow just knowing that that's tucked under my arm would make me feel really good. There is a bifold picture frame that sits on my dresser that has a photograph of my grandparents on my mother's side while they were in Europe on one of their trips. There are other copies of the pictures that exist, but I've always had that near my bed in my bedroom, and I would want to grab that as I was heading out. And then on my dresser, there is a black lacquer box given to me by it's a little black Russian lacquer box that was given to me by a dear friend. And it holds a lot of really happy memories for me. So that would be in my pocket as I ran out. That's what I would take if the house caught fire. The book recommendation, oh my God, I've already fessed up to the fact that I've got too many or I've got a lot, and narrowing it down to just one. As far as design books go, I think it would have to be the one that I keep here on my desk. There are others that rotate on and off the desk, but this one has always been there. And I read it, reread it every couple of years. Edith Wharton's The Decoration of Houses. Whether you're new to the world of design or whether you're an old hat at it all, I can't think of a book that better outlines the formula for beautiful living and for creating beautiful spaces than this gift to us by Edith Wharton and Ogden Cottam Jr., her co-author. The Decoration of Houses would be the book that I would recommend to anyone, and that certainly should be on the bookshelf of everyone. Now, the last question. This one causes lots of furrowed brows and giggles and interesting comments from our guests. I've had the benefit of listening to, at this point, well over 400 responses to this question. So my answer goes like this. If I'm in a new world and I don't know anyone, I have all the experience and the knowledge, my food and shelter are taken care of, but the new home is empty. All I've got is my laptop, my phone, and $1,000 in my pocket. What am I going to do to decorate this house? Pretty straightforward. For me, paint the walls, gunmetal gray, matte finish, sisal rug on the floor, and let me just frame this for you. I'm thinking this is pretty much a one-room experience, maybe with an adjacent kitchen. But one primary room, a big window looking out onto a garden, lots of light. The walls matte black, gunmetal gray-ish, sisal rug on the floor. I would string a hammock, a natural jute hammock from two walls to create sitting and sleeping and reclining opportunities. I would go out and buy some very inexpensive, either natural raw linen or maybe a heavy woven cotton to create curtains, because where there's a window, there needs to be curtains, and big, big oversized throw pillows for the floor. There would be a lamp for reading. There would be a table to place a book on. There would be at least two bottles of wine, four glasses. My computer would produce music, and I would head out the front door looking for things from nature, big gnarly branches, rocks that would provide some decorative accessories. But most importantly, I'd head outdoors to find some new friends to make, and I'd invite them back. Pour some wine, learn about this new world, learn about these new people that I'm living with and around, and make some new friends. That's how I would handle that last question. Wow. The half hour is almost gone. I've been talking the whole time. I've never done that before. That's kind of an interesting feeling. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed maybe taking a peek inside what's happening here at Million Dollar Decorating. Thank you for an amazing year. It has been an unexpected ride for me. It has been both thrilling and exciting, sometimes scary. You know, it's been brand new. Haven't known how this was going to go. But the support and the outpouring of love and communication that I've had from each of you has been... has made it worth it every step of the way. So I want you to go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com. You can catch some notes from today's show. I'm not sure what I'm going to post in there. I'll definitely post a link to the book that I recommended to you, The Decoration of Houses by Edith Wharton and Ogden Cottam Jr. You know that you can always find interesting things on the website. Click buttons once you get over to our website. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We've always got fun things happening there. And I'm going to sign off as I always do. I'm going to remind you that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.